4CIB now presents The Law and You, proudly brought to you by Bell Legal Group, with a large team of highly experienced professionals. You can feel safe knowing that Bell Legal can help you with your legal needs.
Once again, it's a very good morning from me, John Fradgley from the Bell Legal Group, back with you for The Law and You here on 4CRB. As always, your opportunity to get free legal advice. That's right, free legal advice between now and 9.30. That's 10.30 Tweed Coast time. All you need to do is give us a call, and our number is 55208888. That number again, 55208888. 07 in front of the number if you're ringing from south of the Tweed River. Otherwise, in Queensland, you'll get straight through on that number. Don't forget, we also have our email address, talkback@4crb.com, if you're not able to get to the telephone. And I have had a couple of emails that have come in during the course of the last week. The first one raised quite an interesting issue. It was from a person who took out some life insurance that is advertised, and you see this very frequently, these products being advertised on television these days, where they say that you can get, I think, from $10,000 to $1 million in life insurance. And it's obviously quite an attractive thing. But, of course, the devil is in the detail. And for this particular caller, or for this particular person who emailed me, they were very concerned that their fortnightly payments had gone up from about $32 a fortnight when they first took the policy out to $58 a fortnight. And particularly if you're on a pension, that's obviously a significant increase of $26 a fortnight or $52 a month. And the thing that I would say about these policies is this. They are what is referred to as term life insurance. And so all term life insurance will see the premium go up each year. Quite often they have indexed amounts so that, say, for example, you took the policy out originally for $10,000. Each year it very well may be indexed so that the amount insured goes up with the increase in the CPI, and that, of course, leads to an increased premium. But even if you can elect not to take, under many policies, you can elect not to take that indexed increase, which will, of course, reduce the premium slightly. But it won't mean that your premium will stay the same, because with all of these policies, as you increase in age and get closer to the date of your mortality, the premium will correspondingly increase. And they can get to the point where they're simply not economically viable for you any longer. The pain of the premium can simply be too much. So what I would say to you is that if you're thinking about one of these products, look at it very, very carefully before going into it, what your needs actually are. I would actually recommend that you are probably better to consult a professional in this area, perhaps a financial planner, to look at what life insurance you really do need to determine whether it's a good option, but also to make sure that you're fully aware of all those terms. And that would include getting some legal advice in relation to it. And, of course, in doing that, you can go to My Community Legal at Robina on a Thursday evening from 6.30. And there's always the Gold Coast Community Legal Centre and Advice Bureau that are able to provide advice on that. So just a word of caution there. The second email that I received during the week was from someone saying that they wished to change lawyers in relation to their will, which was held by another firm. But I'll come back to that in a moment. We've got our first caller online as we say good morning to Teresa. Good morning, Teresa. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
That's good. How can I help you today? It is indeed. How can I help you, Teresa?
I'm calling on behalf of a friend, an elderly friend, who got scammed yesterday.
Sorry, what happened yesterday?
My elderly friend got scammed.
Oh, dear.
They took his credit card details off him and managed to spend $10,000, slightly over $10,000, in half an hour before he realized what was happening, and he called the fraud squad.
Did he call his bank? Because that's the first thing you should do.
Yes, he did call his bank. Mm-hmm. They put him onto the fraud squad.
Right, the fraud team. The fraud team in the bank, yes.
Yes, and he's very stressed because the person who took the call basically told him that it was his fault for giving out the all the numbers. PIN numbers and stuff like that.
Well, certainly, if he's given them the PIN numbers, that certainly is probably the case. The one thing the bank, and I presume the bank would be trying to do this, Teresa, would be to get back the money. Was the card used to withdraw cash, or was the card used to pay for goods and services?
I think the card was used to pay for goods and services because they said that there was a number of purchases being done.
Right. Well, if that's the case, then the bank very well may be able to counter those transactions. It'll just depend on what's happened, whether the goods have been delivered to the fraudster. There's a lot in this.
In half an hour?
Sorry?
In half an hour?
Well, see, it just depends whether the transactions were online transactions and therefore whether the goods that have been ordered have already left the place that they were ordered from, or alternatively, whether the person went into a shop and spent the money in a shop and received the goods. So if they went into a shop and received the goods, it's going to be more difficult, but that begs the question of how would they be able to do that in a store if they didn't have the physical credit card, because you need to have the credit card if you're going to go into a store. If you're buying online, of course, you enter your details online, and so if he's given them all the information, and I'm particularly worried about the fact that you said he handed over his PIN number, because that's a huge mistake. I've had a friend who's recently or some months ago fell foul of something similar to this, Teresa. The bank is still working to try and get some of the money back, but the indications are that, particularly because the PIN number was handed over, that there's some doubt about whether all of the money will be able to be retrieved. But he's done the right thing. He's reported it to the bank. Was this a telephone call that came into him?
Yes. Usually he's very careful, but he said yesterday for some reason he felt like he was being hypnotized into giving all these details.
Right, okay. Well, I can tell you, you know, the friend of mine I'm speaking of is a very intelligent person, and they were scammed. So, you know, look, he shouldn't feel ashamed by the fact that this has happened, but he certainly should work with the bank, which is what my friend has done, working with the bank to try and get the funds back. Has he got the details of the person he spoke to in the fraud department of the bank?
Yes, just a name.
Yes, well, if he stays in contact, and I would even suggest that if it's possible for him to go into his local branch of the bank and try and see someone in the branch just to let them know what's happened and see whether they can also speak to the fraud department in the bank as well to just try and further enforce his claim to hopefully get as much of his money back as possible. All right, then.
Is there a chance that he might not get everything back?
There certainly is a chance that he may not get... There's a chance, sadly, Teresa, that he may not get anything back. It'll depend on the transactions and where the money was spent.
But why was there no alert sent to his phone to say that vast amounts of money was being spent?
Well, it depends whether the bank uses that system or not. I do know that I receive alerts on my phone, even for $12.99. I got one yesterday and wondered what it was, and then I realised it was Amazon, and I thought, oh, yes, that's probably something my wife has purchased, which it was. So even small transactions. But I don't know that every bank does that, so that would be another question for the bank in relation to it. And look, the other possibility for him, Teresa, might be to possibly speak to the Australian Financial Complaints Authority. But I think you have to exhaust all of the avenues with the bank first before you go there. But have you got a pen handy? And I'll give you the number.
Yes.
Okay, so it's the Australian Financial Complaints Authority, or AFCA, and their telephone number is 1800 931 687. All right,
Beautiful.
Then?
Thanks so much, John.
Okay, Teresa, all the very best. And the time on 4CRB just marches along, 15 minutes past 9 past 10 on the Tweed, as we say good morning to James. G'day, James. How are you?
Oh, g'day, John. Thank you for your program. Hey, to do with powers of attorney, man.
Mm, yep.
I had a car stolen that was trashed and was at a panel beater and went under the Rocklea water.
Mm-hmm.
Just recently, and the insurance is paying me out, and I've got to replace it. It's registered in my daughter and my name,
mm-hmm.
and I'm wondering whether I'm going to have to go interstate to buy a replacement, you see,
mm-hmm.
and wondering whether a power of attorney will allow me interstate to put her name on the registration.
Yes, it would. So,
yes.
But you would still need to produce documents to prove her identity, though, James.
So a driver's license, passport or something.
Yeah, something like that.
I found,
to be honest, that, you know, you can actually, when I just sort of think back about it, I purchased a car a couple of years ago from Melbourne, and I think apart from sending them emailing them a certified copy of my driver's license, they actually didn't require anything else. So I would be speaking to the person, the place that you're going to be buying from, and just see what their requirements are. But certainly, a power of attorney would allow you to put the car into your daughter's name.
Yeah, well, I put it in both our names.
Indeed. Okay, well, whether you put it in both or you put it in just in her name,
yeah.
If you have a power of attorney which says that, you know, you want the car registered in your name and your daughter's name, that would be more than adequate.
Oh, right. Thanks a lot. Just a bit disappointed with the insurance because I'd agreed the value rather than market value, and prices of cars have gone up, haven't they?
Yes.
So it's a bit sad.
You can't win all the time. I mean, I think so often in the past, we would have all said, that we would prefer to have an agreed value so we know what we're going to get rather than the market value. But you're quite right. In the current market environment, that is the case, and there's no one who can better confirm that than Adam Hall, who does What's Your Car Worth here on 4CRB.
Absolutely, yes. It was a $60,000 Jag, you see.
Oh, my goodness.
A bit sad. So, I probably dropped about $7,000 or something.
Yes, well, thank goodness it wasn't one of those Toyota Land Cruisers, because I believe that they're selling for about $20,000 or $30,000 more second-hand than they are brand new.
Yeah,
so,
availability.
Yes,
yeah,
that's it. That's exactly right. Okay, James, thanks very much for your call. And the time on 4CRB moves along. It's just coming up to 19 minutes past 9. That's past 10 on the Tweed. The Law and You is the program. The telephone number is 55208888. Our lines are presently free, so if you have a question or a query that you'd like answered today, give us a call. That number again, 55208888. As I was saying before Teresa's call, I did also receive a second email during the week from someone who was querying just the process of getting a will done with a new, if they wanted to change solicitors, and in particular how you might go about getting your will off your previous solicitor. And the questions asked were, can I just telephone my former lawyer and ask for the original will? And this was a situation where the query was on behalf of a husband and wife. And I pointed out that, no, you can't just telephone and ask for the documents, the original documents. The Law Society laid down a protocol for the issuing of documents, and so what you would need to do is you would need to have a written request for the documents. You would need to have, which is signed by both parties, and you'd also need a certified ID. So, I mean, obviously, if you went into the office, if a husband and wife went into the office and had their identity documents with them or their driver's license, they could ask and would receive the documents. But if one of you is just going to go into the office, or alternatively, if you just want to post in, then you would need to send a written request plus photo ID. Where it quite often happens from my perspective in terms of running a law office, when we have clients who come in and make an appointment to make a new will, we simply make out that request to the former lawyers, and we're required to take a copy of ID for opening a file anyway, so we can send the certified ID with a letter, and the other law firm will quickly send the documents back. The third part of the question was whether there would be any cost for storing the documents, and the short answer to that question is probably no, because unless it's specifically provided in the retainer agreement or the costs agreement you signed to have the wills prepared, that if they're going to store the wills, you'll be charged for doing so, and I've quite frankly never seen it. There is no charge. The worst you might find is that there'll be a charge for the postage to send you the documents, but that's about it. But enough of that. We've got John online, so we'll say very good morning. Hi, John. How are you?
Well, I'm not too bad, John.
That's good. How can we help?
I spoke to you a couple of weeks ago.
Yes.
About a solicitor who prepared my wills, and he asked me to sign a statement that he could access my account any time that he wanted to.
Mm.
And you said not to sign it, and that's fair enough.
Mm.
But now I'd like to be able to collect my will from his office and the power of attorney that I made out for my best friend and handle him myself and hand him over to my power of attorney and get him to handle him in the case of my death.
Right.
Can I do that?
Well, you certainly can, John. So all you would need to do is go into the solicitor's office and make sure you're carrying your driver's license. In fact, this is what I was talking about while you've probably been on hold, waiting for me to answer your call. So all you would need to do is go into the office with your driver's license, for example, tell them you want those documents, and they will certainly be provided to you. The only thing I would just caution you about, John, is be very careful about what you do with your will and your power of attorney, because we don't recommend that clients hold the originals of those documents at home. We recommend that the originals should be held somewhere secure, and you know, unfortunately, these days the banks will no longer hold security documents for clients, with very rare exception. And so therefore we find increasingly that we're holding wills and powers of attorney on behalf of clients with the originals being with copies being provided to the client. Because the problem is that if the documents get lost later on, you've got a real dilemma, particularly if you lose capacity. So you no longer have the legal capacity to make out a new will, or more importantly, a new power of attorney, because quite honestly, your power of attorney is a far more important document than your will, in my opinion, because it will determine how you're looked after while you're alive, which to me is far more important than what's going to happen to us after we've kicked off this mortal coil.
And if your solicitor holds those documents when you die, is the solicitor responsible for the disbursement of your assets, or does it just go straight to the power of attorney?
No, well, a power of attorney ceases on death, so your power of attorney no longer has any role to play, but it will depend who you've appointed. It will depend who you've appointed as your executor under your will, because it's the executor under the will that assumes that role. And so, therefore, if you've made your friend your power of attorney and you've also made that person your executor, then it will be that person.
I've also made him my enduring power of attorney.
Yes, so enduring power of attorney and executor, then after you pass away, your enduring power of attorney ceases to have any power to exist. It's revoked by death, and from that point onwards, it will be the executor under your will who will look after your affairs and distribute your estate according to the terms of the will that you've made.
That's interesting. Hmm. Now, do you do home calls for wills?
We do. We do have one or two lawyers who are able to go out and do that in circumstances where clients are not able to attend the office. It's obviously more expensive to get someone to come out to your home than it is to come into the office. No, it certainly is possible.
All right then.
Okay,
well,
then,
thank
John.
You for that, John. Thanks
okay, John. All the very best. And that time on 4CRB continues to roll along, 26 minutes past 9, in fact coming up to 27 minutes past 9. The Law and You is the program. We've probably got time for just one more caller if you're very quick. So if you have a question or a query, call right now, 55208888. We'll be back after this word from our sponsor.
Bell Legal Group is the Gold Coast's longest established law firm. Their highly experienced team of professionals can provide assistance in wills and estate planning, property law and conveyancing, family law, business and commercial law, and much, much more. Contact our sponsor, Bell Legal Group, on 55973366. That number again, 55973366. Or learn more about what they can offer you at belllegal.com.au.
And this is The Law and You on 4CRB, our telephone number 55208888 if you have a question or a query. But we've only got a couple of minutes left in the program, so please be quick if you want your question answered. While we're waiting for someone to call, the other point that I wanted to raise too came up in a response that I received from the email about how you can go about recovering your will from a solicitor you no longer wish to engage. And the response I received from that particular person thanking me for the information provided also raised an issue which I think is quite a concern, and I'll probably talk on this in more detail on another occasion, but it relates to the issue of elder abuse. And certainly over the years, I have infrequently seen elder abuse, but I must say that if you see it once, that's once too many times that it should happen, because there is absolutely no excuse for it. And sadly, the majority of occasions where it's seen is at the hands of family members, be it at the hands of children or relatives, other relatives. And it can be very sad. Even things like, a child telling their parents or telling their mother or father that they won't allow the grandchildren to see them anymore unless they loan them money to help them with some particular thing. And believe it or not, I've actually seen instances like that where very distressed grandparents have been in touch because they're basically being threatened by their children if they don't do something. So we have one more caller. Quickly, we'll say hello to Elizabeth. Hi, Elizabeth. How are you?
So far, so good. You probably remember me a couple of weeks ago. I talked to you about the funeral, remember?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
They overcharged me and everything? Yeah.
Yes.
Now, you gave me a few number, and I tell you the truth, thank you very much for your help, but they didn't help me at all. They brushed me off very nicely.
Oh, dear.
Ombudsman says we can't do nothing about it. It's, you know, it's a private company. The government says, well, just a minute, I'll talk to someone. And then she came back in a couple of minutes' time, and she said, I'm sorry, it's not on not our department. I'll give you the number for another department. Another department brushed me off, and everybody brushed me off, and nobody wants to do absolutely nothing.
Right.
Okay?
Did you go and see either the or speak to the Gold Coast Community Legal Centre or alternatively
Community Legal
down at Robina?
Yeah, I did.
And they weren't able to help
too,
you?
Nah.
Oh,
she talked to me and she said to me, I'm terribly sorry, but it's a private company. There is not much we can do about it. That's their policy, and that's it. and that's absolutely nothing, and nobody can do nothing. And probably for $7,000 what I have for funeral, they're going to charge me now next year, $188. And if I increase, they're going to charge me $220, per month. That's absolutely despicable what they're doing. It's corruption so big that it's unbelievable what the people are doing. Nobody helped nobody.
Yes, well, what I was saying before, Elizabeth, the problem with these things is that the devil is in the detail of the terms of the policy that you sign up. And so that's why I always recommend to people to get independent advice before proceeding with any product like this. And if the terms of the policy are legally enforceable, which it sounds to me that's what you've been told by the people you've been to see, then regrettably there is nothing that anyone can do other than to appeal to the moral conscience of the company you're dealing with. And sadly, companies like this often don't have any moral compass at all. So I'm very sorry that that's been your situation. Elizabeth, what I would suggest is if you give me a call at the office on 5597-3366, I'll speak further with you about the issue at that time, and we'll see if there's anything else that might be able to be done. But that's all the time we have for the show today. So thank you to all the people who've called in today and made for such an interesting program. I'm John Fradgley from the Bell Legal Group. I look forward to being back with you again next week. But as always, until then, it's goodbye and God bless.
You've been listening to The Law and You, proudly brought to you by Bell Legal Group, the Gold Coast's longest established law firm, helping Gold Coasters since 1955. Call them today on 5597-3366.